Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Any Line, Anytime. My name is Mark Babin, and it's a great pleasure to have you today. In this episode, we are talking about travel and the industry that suffered a massive drop in 2020 due to the pandemic. We are joined by travel and tourism expert Jennifer Hawkins of Hawkins PR, a global travel and tourism agency based in New York. As an industry leader with some of the biggest travel brands and clients around the world, Jennifer provides us with some excellent insight into the struggles of 2020 and what to expect in 2021. Truly a great conversation, and I look forward to sharing it with you. So let's get into it, and I'll see you on the other side. Jennifer, it's a true pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you inviting me to be on your podcast. I'm excited to talk a little bit, especially since it's new year and very interesting times in travel right now.
So topical. Absolutely. So it's a great timing to have you just after the new year. And so before we get into the details of discussion, and obviously having worked with you in the past and in a former life, I suppose I should say in previous roles, it's great to bring you into this as well. And talk about a very topical discussion on travel in this year.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I can talk travel all day long, as you can imagine. I mean, our agency is and I actually have two agencies, but, you know, and we represent hotels, resorts, spas, cruise lines, airlines, and malls and liquor brands. So anything that's hospitality related, you know, and so you can get me started in any one of these topics and, you know, it'll be hard to kind of edit me down. So
we certainly don't want to do that. So we want to hear all that you have to say. That's brilliant. So again, thank you so much for being here. So I'd love to start off the conversation by rewinding the tapes to the end of 2019. It seems like for some, maybe a minute ago, and for some, maybe a decade ago with how 2020 went. But looking back, even to the start of 2020, I think we can all say 2019 was a very largely successful year in travel and tourism around the world. I did a quick look at the numbers and they said 1.5 billion international tourist arrivals, which is huge. And then $3 trillion as far as direct contribution to GDP. Huge numbers for 2019. I'd love your approach on how you approach 2020 coming out of such a great year. The start of the year, your outlook must have been fantastic for you and your clients.
Yeah, it really was. And it's one of the things that I like being in the travel industries is because I do think of the travel hospitality industry as being such an economic driver in so many communities and localities and, you know, and countries. So we have clients on every continent, including, you know, cruising to Antarctica. And, you know, so that ranges from all around the U.S., South America, you know, Peru, you know, all over Africa, from Rwanda to Botswana, Tanzania, and of course all over Europe and into Asia. And so if you take that kind of collectively in our little swath of that, I mean, it really, all of our clients were, you know, on an upswing and doing, you know, very well and running really good businesses. And I think also not just running really good businesses, but being very mindful and thoughtful in how they execute on it. And when, you know, in travel hospitality, I think that we all sort of take an approach of, you know, whether it's from a conservation point of view or sort of the economic driver behind it. So, you know, nobody could anticipate that it was going to be a global pandemic, certainly. And, you know, really rewinding about a year ago, we in March of last year, so this is week one of March, we hosted our annual client showcase where we have clients from all over the globe come to New York and we do a really interesting and interactive event that's geared toward media and some high-end travel agents. So we had clients from, you know, Africa and the UK and Ireland and South America, and they had all come to, like, you know, gather. And we literally that week was really, like, I think the last week before that anybody was able to sort of go to an event, you know, even the media kind of, you know, even post that event, you know, reached out to us and said, that was like our last like big hurrah. But, you know, and we had to like, you know, stop going to work. We're our headquarters in New York City and we're bi-coastal. And so everybody kind of dialed back into like this work from home, which we thought was going to be maybe a week, 2 weeks. So it really was a big surprise that we're sitting here a year later. And certainly our clients have been so hard hit. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, again, a year ago, nobody could have predicted the global pandemic piece. But, you know, it's forced a lot of businesses, and especially in travel hospitality, to rethink and pivot and really get really good, really quick on communications and sort of having different, you know, business models. So it's been interesting to be along with our clients for their own pivots, let alone our own pivot at our own company. But, you know, I think that we'll all get through this together. I feel very optimistic. I'm optimistic that the vaccine in this moment is rolling out. But also I think that hospitality in general, the global nature of it and sort of the tenacity of the people who are in the industry, I think there's a lot of fortitude. And so I feel, you know, not Pollyanna optimistic, but I definitely think that there's a lot of, you know, smart people who are really dedicated and committed to, you know, getting this industry back on its feet. In addition to the fact that obviously consumers are just chomping at the bit to get back on the road. So as soon as there's some consumer confidence, we'll start seeing that uptick.
Yeah, lots of great points there. And I think you're right in saying that we just can't wait to hit the road again or hit the sky. And a lot of these points we'll touch throughout the interview to get more depth, but that's a really great insight from an overall perspective. Now, you mentioned that event that you had in March as the last hurrah. I remember being at, I think, one or two of them in the past. Mm-hmm. A great chance for the industry to network and really optimistic about the year ahead, because for those in the industry, by the time you hit middle of Q1, coming towards the tail of it, you're well into planning Q4 and even the next year. Your mind's really that far ahead. So is that what you were experiencing the same? No one had any indication that something bad was going to happen. It was really full steam ahead, innovation, creativity, and just, yeah, full speed ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reason that we host a media focused event, and again, and you kind of indicated that, you know, the media, my audience for my clients is the media. And the media is always looking for what's forward, what's ahead, what's new, not what was. So they really like to be, you know, writing about, you know, new experiences. You know, it doesn't have to be a new hotel, but it might be, you know, sort of a new offering or experience or a new chef or menu or, you know, spa. So we really, you know, brought our clients together in that sort of vein, which is come to share what your new shiny object is, and the media really respond. And again, it's been a very difficult year, I would say, for the media. You know, we're very close and, you know, friendly with our media contacts, whether they're at a magazine, an editor, or, you know, whether it's a big publishing house or an independent blog or an influencer or just a freelancer. You know, there's been a lot of changes, and, you know, some publications have folded, some have reduced their frequency, some have been bought and sold. And so I think that we'll continue to also see, you know, I mean, you can see how the ripple effect happens, you know, sort of rolls out to different industries. And in our case, we're very, as attuned we are to the hospitality industry, we're very attuned to the media industry too. So we've been also, you know, very, you know, conscious to be aware of our media, you know, contacts, but, you know, who are, I call them my media friends, because genuinely, you know, we care and love these people and we want them to be, you know, employed. And talk about people who are used to being on the road. These editors are just chomping at the bit to, you know, get out. And anyone, I'll leave that part, leave you with this, which is the media has been, and when I say media, I'm talking about editors of like some of the major consumer publications. and I don't want to name them because I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I can tell you just having a lot of, and I'm on a weekly call with editors and some travel agents, and they're grappling with and have this duration of how do they continue to write about travel, but still be ethically, you know, do they write only inspirational travel? Do they write about if you're going to travel, this is how to do it? Because they're also really want like the pandemic to be over and don't want any more, you know, spread and, you know, kind of like shelter in place. So they've actually had a real sort of existential sort of grappling with this pandemic as well, in terms of how do they, you know, reach and approach and educate and inspire and, you know, just continue to communicate with their own readers, because, you know, they want to be responsible without like, you know, get out and go. But, you know, there's been workarounds, which we can talk about later, but it's been an interesting process to watch them sort of, you know, have to pivot in addition to the hospitality industry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a great relationship the media has with the tourism and hospitality industry. They really work off of one another. So I love that you mentioned that. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier on, but when March hit, I think we had, we went into lockdown and that sort of situation, home office and so on, or in middle of March here in Europe. And then as it continued to move its way west into North America and so on. But I'd love to hear from you as far as your own team. You mentioned a few changes, but then also in the industry as a whole, perhaps from your clients, what was the perspective and how did everyone first react when this happened? Was it more of a, well, this will be over in a couple of weeks, maybe we'll give it a month? Did anyone really expect us to still be here today?
I definitely do not think that anybody thought we were going to be here today. I think that, you know, listen, we're, as much as we're in PR, so, you know, most of what we do, fortunately, I call it the happy peppy PR. Like, you know, if you're promoting travel, it's usually like a happy thing. But, you know, the reality is there's a crisis communications element to working in any industry. And so we were really able to help our clients navigate the communication, both to their consumers, to the media, and also in some cases internally to their staffs. I mean, you know, some of our clients in the industry, you know, as a whole has had to have different, you know, layers and levels of, you know, furloughs and layoffs. And I think everybody was very conscious of in trying to do job preservation. And also, if they were going to remain open, offer a real authentic and safe environment for any guest that came in. But it was also like, how do you communicate that? So, you know, I mean, they looked to us for a lot of guidance, but, you know, we listened, nobody had a crystal ball. So it was really about being very in the moment and sort of helping our clients, you know, one step at a time, come up either in some cases, there's so much innovation came out of this in terms of how to, you know, put their company or their talent. You know, we had like, all of a sudden, some of our clients are like, our yoga instructor is going to be doing online virtual yoga classes, or our chef doing cooking classes, or they would do virtual stargazing or, you know, cocktail making classes. So there was a real desire to keep a connection with the consumer. And so a lot of our clients got, you know, pretty innovative and, you know, and have continued to do so.
I love that they kind of came to you right away, because yeah, hotels are very much an operational entity, and yes, they have their creative teams and everything, but that's where your team fits into what they're doing, is that creative element. So coming up with innovative ways, but forced creativity, how do we still connect with our audience, even though they cannot come to see us? So I love that that's kind of a first reaction. It really shows the fortitude of the industry.
I know. Some were like coming up with like really cool Zoom backgrounds and, you know, just in some ways, you know, kind of allowing their staffs to be creative and come up with different, you know, opportunities of engagement. So, you know, it sort of moved past some of that, you know, and especially some of our clients have, you know, come up with different, you know, we have client Montage. They came up with a program called the Montage Academy. Because they found that people were starting to work from home, and also students could like study from home virtually. So they partnered with tutor.com, for instance, and set aside specific meeting spaces that were going unused and were allowing families to come into the resort, you know, sort of short term, long term, but at the same time, not miss a beat, whether it was for, you know, study for the family, study for the kids, or, you know, work for the adults. So, I mean, there's interesting ways that people have adapted and these brands have adapted. And I think there's numerous cases of that adaptivity and creativity that we've seen in the industry. It's kind of remarkable. I'm always very impressed.
Yeah, I love, I mean, it's a, situations like this are never ones we want to go through, but they always do produce some amazing creative and inspirational thoughts, leaders, and organizations. So that's great. I love that they were doing things like that. That's really, really cool to hear. So looking at sort of the flip side of what they were doing innovation wise, obviously, a lot of things were perhaps put under a microscope or put a spotlight on, particularly, you know, shortcomings in processes and so on. Now, as hotels are now slowly reopening or introducing processes to get customers back with them, specifically like destinations, islands, and whether it's Europe or North America and Asia and around the world, I'd love your insight on what you see some of the shortcomings being. I'm looking specifically at processes that maybe don't need to be there anymore, or maybe have become too sensitive for the audience.
I don't know if there's shortcomings as much as there are new adaptations and solutions. You know, okay. I mean, I think that's how innovation works. You know, I think that it's born out of necessity things. So I think that any hotel that is going to continue to operate and continue to sort of capture the imagination and confidence of a brain, of their consumers, of their customers, of their past and new guests, they are going to have to indicate in a very cohesive, clear fashion what it is that they're doing. That is going to even be post COVID. So I think this COVID era is sort of, you know, creating lots of systems and protocols and processes around, you know, cleanliness and healthcare and, you know, staff engagement. And, you know, I mean, you know, as well as any of us about, you know, touchless services, you know, so I think that there's going to be the brands that are going to really survive are going to continue to address these things head on. And they are going to be much more accountable to whether it's the travel agent or the guests themselves, and especially as meetings start coming back, you know, there's going to be a different level of vetting that, say, a meeting planner is going to have when they need to find a venue for the next big conference for some association. And I can tell you there's going to be a lot more sort of accountability and confidence building that's going to need to happen on behalf of a brand for them to start getting the big business back.
Yeah, I love that point. Yeah. With consumers, yeah, especially having to build that trust back again and instill confidence, whether it's health and safety measures or what are you doing, you know, to keep me safe as a consumer. Would you say that hospitality programs need to come up with protocols or processes that instill that confidence before guests arrive?
I think that most have, especially if they're associated with the big brands. Now, one company that we started working with recently, it's born out of ShareCare. It's a health security verified system. So what they've launched is an opportunity for hotels, despite what your brand standard is in terms of health and wellness and protocol and cleanliness. So they're not a cleaning service as much as they are a verification service, where kind of much like the Forbes rating system, this is a sort of a health and safety system that hotels can deploy internally. And there's a, so there's an industry standard, that's their goal. And it's going to be an interesting, I'd say next like year plus of, you know, where these standards sort of lay, because I think if you're going to an independent hotel or a brand hotel, you're going to want to know, but at the same time, you're going to want to be able to compare apples to apples. So if you're going to any destination, like, you know, Zurich, you're going to want to be able to like, know, is this like a verified hotel? Not just do they have cleanliness protocols, because, you know, you can only assume that they do. And listen, our hotels, especially our clients, they were also like, listen, we've been doing a lot of this stuff already, especially with the luxury, you know, it's not like,
yeah, they were cleaning properly, like,
but there needs to be a different layers in terms of like, perhaps like, you know, staff testing, or how often, you know, a lobby is, you know, cleaned, or, but there's a standard that is, really like tech-based that will allow the industry and then ultimately the consumers to know that a particular property is verified. Yeah. So I think there's going to be more of those kind of things that are going to sort of stay with us even post-COVID, and, you know, touchless services like around, you know, whether it's check-in or in the spa. So you know, or cleaning, I think there's going to be a lot more options for like, do you want to have somebody come to your room, you know, twice a day? Mm-hmm. That might, you know, but you can probably opt in or opt out.
Sure. To ensure whatever little extra thing they need to do, or even just talk about more to give that confidence. Like you said, a lot of this is already being done. It's just a matter of communicating it.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Great.
So, and I think a lot of that'll stay with us post zero.
I agree. And I guess looking ahead to this next year, I think we can both agree that with everyone being stuck at home for so long, most of the year at least, we can agree that this next year, at least once this vaccine starts to roll out, perhaps by end of summer, we're going to see a lot of travel. There's going to be a lot of, I potentially see one of the biggest travel booms in the past couple decades at least, and I think you would agree. But looking at that, I'd love to know what you think will be the hardest hit. And in terms of, you know, I can imagine just like massive check-in lines at the airport or security or boarding the flight or even at the hotel. There's already long check-in lines, but these are going to be even longer because of the mass amount of people coming in. Do you see sort of the same things being hit hardest at properties and within travel?
I think that, you know, I have faith in the, in sort of like, again, the innovation and sort of like the creativity and sort of also the consumer. I mean, people are going to, you know, if they're going to have to wait in a little bit of a longer line or show up an hour earlier, they're going to do it if it's about, you know, getting that family holiday on the books. So, but I think hotels will be able to innovate, but I think that's where I think touchless service is going to be amazing, because, you know, a lot of European hotels right now, I mean, especially on the luxury side, they, you know, you check in your room, you know, and, or, you know, there's other hotels sort of on the other end of the spectrum where they've got kiosks where you check in. Yep. So you're not even like interfacing with another person. So I think you'll see more of those kind of workarounds so that people aren't queued up for, you know, 10 people back just to like get a room key.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot where the solution lies, is enabling people to do things from their own devices. When you go to these hotels, to be able to check in from your device, to be able to skip things that existed previously, will be a massive asset and something hotels can take a huge advantage of if they implement it, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, hotels will do well, especially if they can amplify and sort of exploit any outdoor space they have, even like, again, post-pandemic, but because I think people now are appreciating even that much more that, you know, there's this sort of biophilia sort of feel good that comes with, you know, whether it's travel or being at home, you know, just having, you know, nature around you is it's good for the soul in so many different ways.
Yeah, agreed. It just gets you out there. And I think that's what people are probably most looking forward to the year ahead. No, that's perfect. A great discussion, a really good outlook on perhaps where things are going and the things that'll be hot in the year to come. So really, really appreciate your insight. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. A pleasure to speak with you and get your insights on all of this.
Of course. And I want to sort of put a little plug into the fact that every year we put out a trends report. We called it the Trend Talk. This year, we're not doing predicted trends report, but we are putting out our sort of take on the lexicon of 2021, because we think that people have embraced like different concepts as it relates to like travel and thinking about travel. So, you know, we're kind of breaking apart different concepts around what we call cybernate and local and comfort and flexibility. So if anybody is interested in our lexicon report, please, you know, feel free to reach out to me directly at jennifer@hawkpr.com, and we'll make sure that you get on the list, because we put this trend report out every year, and it's always really hotly anticipated. And so we tried to do something a little different this year, because I can't even predict what's going to happen, you know, next week, in a couple months. So it's more to be revealed, but let's do this again in a year and see where we are. So that'll be a fun comparison. So
that's a great idea.
Appreciate your time. You're great. And, you know, let's hope that 2021 brings us together, you know, in person one of these days, because, you know, I think that's what everybody's missing, is that one-on-one human connection, and sort of, you know, it's fun to network on Zoom and whatnot, but it's much better to, you know, and that's what hospitality is all about, is, you know, let's have, you know, lunch and, you know, enjoy, you know, having these conversations in person. So one of these days.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And I'll make sure that Trend Talk report is linked as well in all of the collateral we put out as long with the podcast, and make sure people get on that, because I think it's super relevant to be aware of what's upcoming. So I really love that. So again, thank you so much for jumping in this morning. I know you have a busy time and certainly a busy year ahead, but we certainly wish you all the best. And yeah, hopefully we can repeat this in 1 year's time, whether I come to New York or you come to Vienna. We'll make sure it happens.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Good. Thanks so much, Jennifer. We'll talk to you soon.
Such a fascinating outlook and some amazing insights from those within the industry. I love how Jennifer outlined the need for touchless solutions in the future as a way to instill confidence and trust with passengers and guests. It certainly looks like 2021 will bring with it a significant amount of travel, and those in industry need to be prepared in the best way they can. If there is one thing that can be said for the travel and tourism industry, is that resilience and forward thinking are always rewarded. Thank you again for joining me on this episode. And I hope you took some valuable information away, just as I did. I look forward to having you all back with me again next week for another episode of Any Line, Anytime. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.